www.staggeringstories.net, podcast series 1, number 21. That's right, isn't it? Look, it's a bit more chaotic this time round. Put it down to the Christmas spirit or something. Yes. Welcome to the Staggering Stories Christmas Podcast. It's our series one, number 11. Yes, we didn't get any razzes. What we have got, we've got crackers.
Yes. And you've got me.
Yes, I was going to say, we've got an intruder.
Yeah.
Yes, another one. You really have got to get those defences sorted out. We have Paul from WhoCast, he who has been moaning at us for weeks and weeks and weeks because we
haven't
given
him
enough.
Paul.
Yes.
Hello, Paul from WhoCast.
Why haven't you mentioned us? Hello, Paul from WhoCast.
Hello, Paul from WhoCast.
That will be www.thewhocast.com.
Gosh. Nah.
No.
Can we edit that?
Yeah, we'll edit that out. Well, I'm Tony.
I'm Adam.
I'm Santa's little helper.
You are, aren't you?
I am, yes.
She's wearing green.
That's true, yes.
Green. And I'm Joanna Lumley.
You're looking very good on it.
Yes.
So first things first, as it's like Christmas, we've got Christmas crackers.
Woohoo!
Yes, so we're going to open them up now and wear hats and things.
Things.
Pull my cracker.
All right.
That's mine. Thank you. Do you like me to pull your cracker?
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, if you must.
Come
on,
here
you go.
Oh!
I've got dominoes.
I just banged the mic.
Oh, I've got
that's all right,
pen.
Can I just move the mic? And my God, you should see how loud that is.
I've got lipstick.
Is it Sonic? I'm going to have to pour mine on my own.
I've got
I'll
a pen that works. My God. I need one of those.
I'll feel completely dry as well.
Ooh. What colour's your hat?
Thank you very much.
So is mine.
Oh,
are all the hats gold?
Wow.
I like being free.
I'm not sure what
this is.
You've
got a cigarette case.
But I think it can hold my DNA until later.
Let's see.
After pulling your cracker,
Oh, it's a butt plug.
What? Yeah. What Christmas crackers are these, then?
And Sutler's Queen Square.
Right, believe it or not, we are actually sat here wearing Christmas helmets. Anyway, happy Christmas and season's greetings.
Happy
this
Christmas!
Is being,
ho, ho, ho.
Whilst we're recording this on the 6th, or was it the 5th of December? 5th of December today. It's being released on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anyone else have a joke? Because mine says, what would the baby Jesus do?
Weep.
I have a joke.
Go on then.
I haven't got a joke here.
It's you should have
very
have
small writing, so.
Ah, I see it.
Okay, here we go.
Ah, right, come.
What did the dirt say when it started to rain? If this keeps up, my name is going to be mud.
And there'll be more of those jokes throughout this podcast. I'm intrigued to know what the hell this thing is that came out of it.
It's an
eye patch. Ah! Who'd have believed it?
I've got charades on mine.
Manicure
charades?
Set.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really practical on a podcast,
nice.
Though.
I've got charades.
Oh, yeah, I've got charades.
Right, it's actually a screwdriver set.
Ooh. How come I got the crap one?
You've got lipstick. Come on, you can be pretty at all times.
Yeah, I've got Phillips screwdriver, flat blade,
like
Sonic, and yes.
Ooh, have you got some brain teasers on the back of your joke?
Come on, we're seriously underqualified for those.
Do you want to play swapsies?
No. I like my strange little
you're
butt
offering
thing.
Him lipstick.
Not for his face, sir.
What we got?
Ooh, tricky.
Americans call it a faucet. What do the British call it?
A tap.
No?
That's not your joke, that's trivia.
I know.
Oh, really?
I'm saving my joke till later.
All right, then my trivia's for smarty pants people.
Go on.
What two elements make up water?
Oh. H2O? What could it be?
Wouldn't be something to do with hydrogen, would it?
Could be.
You've got one of them. What's the other one?
If you know what elements make up water.
Sapphire?
Steel. Oh, dear.
I was going to say open flame.
Oh, God. Anyway, this is the Christmas podcast. We do indeed have Paul
the
from WhoCast.
The Christmas.
The Christmas podcast.
The Christmas.
It's a green Christmas podcast. I really shouldn't.
The head of Pertwee hasn't got a hat.
Oh, yes.
We've got a cracker for him.
We've got a spare cracker for the head of Pertwee.
He hasn't got any arms. How's he going to pull the cracker?
No, we'll do it for him.
Okay.
All right.
And I can confirm there actually is a spooky head of
Pertwee.
Pertwee.
If this present's better than mine,
I want it. Pertwee can't use it.
Yeah, fight you for it.
Or Pertwee could have the lipstick.
Got a terrible voice.
Oh, yeah, he could use that.
Yeah. It's looking a bit pale.
I'm really upset that you don't want your lipstick.
Well, it really is a butt plug.
What is it?
You dangle it in front of somebody and say, Clochleda Parthenon in Clatch.
Stop it.
Anyway,
can you wash this for me, Tony? Pertwee hasn't got his hat on.
Oh, yes, put Pertwee's hat on.
And then... Oh, I've got jokes now as well.
Pertwee's got his hat on. Can I read a joke?
You've got to do it in a John Pertwee voice.
Pertwee's got his hat on and he's coming out to play.
Just not very quickly and sort of stuck there on a spike.
Oh,
we'll be putting a photograph of Pertwee in his hat up.
Oh, bless him.
Now, as you know, we've got the head of Pertwee webcam. And we might either add a Christmas picture to it, or just we might have on the blog roll a picture of Pertwee in his Christmas hat.
Oh yeah,
yes. Sure.
Something will happen.
Yes. Oh God, we're so dead.
This pen is the best pen I've ever owned. This is really sad. Ooh. It hasn't got Bic written on it, and it goes.
Oh, nice.
Does it really?
It does. It's so good.
Can we do something about Star Wars? Can we do Star Wars quotes tonight?
It's a bit late to do something about Star Wars.
Because I've got the best Star Wars quote ever, and I've been waiting to use it for years.
Go on, then.
Ready?
Go on.
Because I was inspired by
Boba Fett up there. No, was that Django?
Django, yeah.
Oh, is it? Well,
get ready.
I'm going to do the best quote ever.
I'm embracing myself.
Boba Fett, ready?
Yes, go on.
That is uncanny.
Because he didn't say anything, did he?
That's really good. That's spookily accurate.
I'm stumped. I'm flummoxed. And yeah, yes, it's just...
So is my God,
I think a round of applause is called for.
Thank you.
Dear God, is this all we're going to have all night?
You see that thing over there? That's a door. Don't let it hit you on the way out.
So what are we going to do? We're going to ignore Karen coughing.
I've got charades on this.
Yes, we'll do some charades later. Yes, it's uncanny. We could do sound charades.
It's going to be awesome.
Google, have you had your tea? We asked people to sort of write in with memories of Christmas television and Christmases past and like stuff like that. Okay. But before we talk about that, one last time before Christmas, where is Keith?
Ooh.
I can tell you.
Can you?
We've sent Keith out to help Father Christmas.
Oh, Father brilliant. Christmas
gets so busy at this time of year.
He'd like that.
Green giant.
I can imagine him jumping
so
him down the
green. We sort of put him in the hold of a plane and sent him to Lapland. Was it Lapland or Greenland?
Total control over the Incredible Hulk.
I like how they're having their own conversation completely.
Yes.
What are you two waffling on about?
We were exchanging festive jokes.
Is that what I was
saying?
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He started.
So anyway, Keith is helping Father Christmas out, and no doubt we'll
he's still going on. It's great. I like it.
I know. There's just this little rumble underneath.
I think it has to be something to do with that door.
Yes, we are actually.
Oh, the glue.
Our chief scientist is having his windows replaced.
Yes.
And they're using a lot of glue.
Most of it's over here.
And let's just put it this way. Our heads are spinning. Well, certainly the head of Pertwee is.
It's spinning around.
It's going 360 degrees, and I believe we have some pea and ham soup to come out of it. So come on then. Memories of Christmas TV and Christmas in the past.
We didn't have TVs in Australia.
No?
They haven't got electricity.
You had green men,
though.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
What gave it away?
The new Doctor Who tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, yes, sorry, yeah. Oh, yes.
Tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
With Kylie on it.
Kylie, yeah.
Kylie from Neighbours.
And, of course, you must have been in the mood for sort of last year's Christmas special, which was set at Christmas, yet blazing sunshine.
It was.
That was Australian.
Made me feel
quite
like
normal.
I was at home.
God, that was awful.
Okay, can I just say?
No.
It's Christmas TV.
Yes, go on.
Shut up.
Yes, yes, sir, ma'am.
In our house.
Yes.
Well, with my youngest son, it's not Christmas until he's seen the Coca-Cola advert with the lorries. Yes, and I know they're
neighbor.
An evil corporation.
My neighbour is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are actually going to play a game through this. I'm warning you now, this particular podcast is going to be all over the place. We're playing a game throughout
this. A game?
You may... I've given everybody an envelope.
An envelope?
Oh, God.
He's at it.
Okay, you may now open your envelopes. You're not allowed to tell each other what each one says.
It's all very
posh. Mine says Karen.
does it? Mine says, in that case, that's for his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're not allowed to tell each other what you've got on there, but
oh,
it's instructions.
Oh, you bastard.
It's instructions. Each of you have instructions of something you have to do throughout this podcast. And at the end, we've each got to try and guess what each other has to do.
Okay.
You can play along at home, of course, and try and guess what each one of these people have to do.
I have to be quite
yes?
stealthy about this, don't I?
It's entirely down to you.
Much like the way the Slitheen would take on human form.
Pesky Raxacorico Phalopatorians.
Excuse me,
they
sir.
Just break wind.
Yes?
I physically can't read that word.
What word?
It got split up into its little chunks.
The Slitheen, were they sort of subtle about changing then?
No, well, you know, you didn't know that they were Slitheen when you first saw them, did you? They were in human form, which is quite good. I like that.
You liked that?
I think the farting might have given that away. I know what it's like around here after we've had meat.
The farting was very discreet, actually.
It was.
Compared to some of the
did you enjoy the farting? Because I found that... Oh, no, I didn't like it.
I like a good fart joke.
Mm. Yeah?
Oh, God.
I quite like jokes about people who've got stomach problems as well.
Well, here's a new Christmas game. Shall we all really hold it all in for ages and then try and fart the 12 days of Christmas just for Paul from WhoCast?
I like that.
I'm regretting this already.
What happens when we get to a partridge in a pear tree, though?
A partridge in a pear tree, you know, it's a given. It's such an obvious one.
Right.
He stopped talking.
You've broken me.
Hey. He's a broken man. I've only been here 10 minutes.
So come on, memories, Christmases, long ago, and stuff like that. Let's all get warm and nostalgic as we gather around the mulled wine, which is in fact Kenko decaf coffee.
Well, Blue Peter and their tinsely coat hanger.
Oh, yes,
thingy.
Yes, the Advent crown.
The Advent crown. Didn't they used to put candles on that?
Yes.
They wouldn't be allowed to do that these days.
They wouldn't be allowed to do anything that
they
used to do.
Well, no, because it wouldn't be a proper crown because you couldn't wear it, so they'd have to apologise and someone would get sacked.
Could you wear it?
No.
I thought it was like a mobile thing with two tatty coat hangers, a bit of tinsel.
It's been done for faking things. So if it's not a proper crown, oh, God, it's going
to
be a long night.
When I was at school, we had to do Christmases from all around the world.
All right.
Oh, please don't tell me the Blue Peter crown was your...
It wasn't for me, but I distinctly remember some girl having to wear candles in her head.
Oh, my God, couldn't do that now. Well, because
no,
she'd
but then
die.
Again, I did go to a school where they... Oh, we won't go into that.
All right.
If you would like to guess what Paul from WhoCast School did, please mail us at show@staggeringstories.net.
And I'll give you a hint, I did go to seminary for 2 years.
Is that like that Stephen King pet seminary thing?
No.
Theological.
Okay.
Not. Yeah.
I was going to be a priest.
What do you normally say?
Theodolite.
What is a theodolite?
Theodolite.
Theodolite.
Isn't that something that Triumph used to make?
The Triumph Theodolite. 2.4 litre.
This car was a cheese. What is a theodolite or whatever the hell it is?
A theodolite. It's getting worse.
This car's a theodolite.
Yes.
It's an instrument they use in surveying.
Mm. You've told me this before, but I've blotted it from my memory.
I think, doesn't it dangle from a string?
They use
a plumb line.
That's a plumb line.
Use a plumb line within
theodolite. They go
lay.
Ley lines.
With their plumb lines. Am I the only one who's ever seen Quatermass around here?
Yep.
So then they had the Cub Scouts coming in, didn't they?
They did. Mm-hmm. They always came in and had a sing song.
Yes, sort of Christmas carols. Mm-hmm.
And then there was that year that the Advent crown caught fire.
And set light to the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And they had to beat it out using John Noakes.
Yeah. They beat it out with Valerie Singleton.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Noakes beat it out, didn't he?
Right.
Careful.
Quite common these days, presenters beating things out on air. Morecambe and Wise Christmas specials. The
How
stripper.
Random outbursts.
I'm sorry, but that's just Christmas.
What a random outburst.
Performing
in the middle of the year.
Preparation and eating of breakfast to the stripper. That was just absolutely genius.
That was superb, yes.
Inspired.
Yes,
it was.
Quite frankly. I like their Starsky and Huff. Their Starsky and Hutch spoof.
I never saw that.
Where instead of the Ford Torino, they used a Mini.
Well, of course.
Of course. And obviously they'd have the newscasters turn up to do a jolly
Rippon
sea shanty.
Having legs.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mr. Preview.
Mr. Preview. Oh, yes, of course. Good old Mr. Preview.
I have no idea what you lot are talking about.
Oh, you've got to see.
You obviously come from a cultural black hole. However, I will thank you for Neighbours because I love Neighbours.
I loved Neighbours up until 1989.
I've never watched it.
Oh, it's superb. It just doesn't take itself seriously. Deliberately doesn't take itself seriously.
It used to, though. It's not the same since Bouncer died.
Oh,
Bouncer's dead.
Bouncer.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh, sorry.
I mean, I think it reached a bit of a nadir when Bouncer had that dream about being happily married to another female dog and having little puppies and living in a
house. Doesn't it make you cringe when people use words like nadir to try and sound clever?
I thought nadir was someone from, you know,
he was from
Sudan.
Some Blake Seven or something, wasn't he?
Well, no, wasn't he one of, wasn't he the Saracen in Robin of Sherwood?
Oh, Terrence,
with the two blades.
No, that's a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, the beard. And
that was Morgan Freeman, that was.
That was what?
Oh, no. Oh,
no, Morgan Freeman married Bouncer.
Oh, God, I'd like to do... No.
No. Who is Bouncer?
Bouncer was Joe Mangold's dog.
Who's Joe Mangold?
Joe Mangold.
You haven't
Joe's
lived.
A man's man. He's a good bloke, Joe Mangold.
Oh, Joe. He came back recently.
Oh, God, did he?
No,
they're doing a Rose Tyler with Joe Mangold.
Don't
I thought maybe he'd been out of the canoe.
Rose Tyler coming back. Bloody... be Series 2... Oh, sorry, Series 28 all over again.
What was Series 28?
Series 28, that was on the Age of Steel and Rise of the Cybermen. And oh, of Doomsday.
So Series 2.
So, yes, Series 28. Yeah,
Season 2. Series 2, Season 2.
Yeah. Series 28. I'm one of these pedants which says all this just to wind them up. Okay, anything else? I remember one Christmas long ago.
You're still suffering from it now.
Yes. I can't remember if it was 72 or 73. Very possibly it might have been 1973.
Ooh. You mean it wasn't the 80s?
No. I was only little and I was around my dad's for that Christmas.
1973, I was... One.
Shut up.
I was minus one.
Could you please tell this story in the proper accent? I was round my dad's one Christmas. There were no bread in the house. So my mam said, here's a shilling. Get yourself off down to Baker's and ask for a loaf of bread.
Shilling? Shilling?
A shilling in me hand, says I. Ah, they were great days. So off I trotted down road, got to Baker's door. But it was snowed under. Snowed under it were.
And the baker
so
said,
piss off. I hammered on the door and Baker said, 'Tis Christmas Day, lad.
Is you that don't Tom or Colin?
It's Colin.
Oh.
You don't expect me to fire up ovens on Christmas Day. And I knew that if I went Scottish. Home without a loaf, my father would beat me.
Father would slice us in two with bread knife.
And we'd be grateful.
So I cried. And Baker said, don't cry, lad. Don't cry. I'll fire up t'oven just for you and make you a bap.
I tell you, there's really nice baps.
Meanwhile, Baker said, come in back a shop with me. I've got something to show you.
And then we played submarines for the rest of day.
Anyway, 1972 or 73. But both my brother and I got given the Radio Times 10th anniversary special.
For Christmas?
Yes.
I got Lego.
Hand an apple. We've got an apple.
Son, go up to the loo. There's some magazines there. Ruffle through it. Find something that you like. Merry Christmas.
Why did you run out of toilet paper?
No, it was wonderful. It was brilliant. It had Pertwee on the front. Pertwee on the front, sort of facing off against a Dalek and a Cyberman and a Sea Devil.
So you wiped your backside on the face
Pertwee's head. Was it the whole of Pertwee or just the head?
It was a two-dimensional picture of him.
Of the whole of Pertwee?
Of the whole of Pertwee, turning around, sort of, hi!
Yeah, that's the one where he's going, hi!
Yeah. It was brilliant. I loved that special. And it was the perfect Christmas present for a little tiny
Such
Doctor Who obsessed
innocent
me.
Innocent time.
Yes. You know, I honestly thought the Dalek invasion of Earth was called World's End.
Sorry?
Or the chase was called The Executioners.
Sorry?
What? They basically took the first title, the first episode title, back in those days.
Mm-hmm. What, didn't you just think it was called Part 1 then?
They didn't have them back because it was, and they just used the first episode title as title for the whole story.
Well, that's slightly silly.
Which is possibly where An Unearthly Child came from.
Hmm. No, she came from Gallifrey.
That could You're be sad. Quite kind of like Aliens of London with the Slitheen.
Got dominoes.
How can that be like Aliens of London and the Slitheen?
Well, it was a two-parter, wasn't it? Which was one great big long story.
Well,
I thought it was
yes.
quite clever, being that we all thought that in the new series of Doctor Who was all going to be self-contained, and we had within the first couple of stories a two-parter.
You love my Slitheen, don't you? You just love them.
I do.
What's the best bit about Slitheen?
Well, you know, they got those long fingers.
They go bang when you pour vinegar over.
They do go vinegar.
Arsene vinegar. When you pour arsene vinegar over.
I do not like Slitheen.
I did not see them.
They got those eyes, those big eyes.
They do, don't they?
You fall into them.
Yeah,
they flutter at you.
What do you
it's
think
Margaret.
Of,
you love Margaret, don't you? Admit
what do you
it.
Think of them when they unzip the heads?
Oh, it's fantastic.
You like that, Ben?
I like the way the light comes out. It's like the little baby Jesus.
So, Paul from WhoCast, what do you think of the Slitheen's arms?
I think they're great.
Do you? Are they as good as their feet?
They're horrible.
I think they're quite sharp.
Sharp arms.
Yeah.
Sharp arms. No, they're not. They're blunty.
No, they've got little thingies. Claw things
they
on
have
them.
They have got little claw yeah. things yeah. on. Don't contradict thing, actually, Paul from WhoCast.
The thing I do like about them is the way their arms have a little stick that comes across them.
Why?
As well.
It worries me you have paid careful attention and observed these creatures in minute detail.
Well, my...
I say worries. I couldn't care less.
What do you think of the way they seem to have a second pair of eyelids inside?
I quite like that because it reminds me of my cat.
Your cat's got two pairs of eyelids?
All cats. Three.
Mine has, but she never blinks, does she?
Well, one of your cats has lost an eye anyway, so...
Well, yeah, so it's really hard.
For it.
And the other one doesn't blink.
Just stares at things. So, come on. Any other memories of Christmas?
Vicar of Dibley Nativity. I thought that was the best one ever. I know that's not a childhood memory, but it makes me feel
warm and
fuzzy.
No, it's a Christmas
fuzzy.
TV memory, so...
They do... one of the characters, Alice, is really pregnant.
She's brilliantly portrayed as well.
She's fantastic. She's so dopey.
But the actress
she's
is
the
brilliant.
One.
She is. And she's Mary in the Nativity.
Yes.
Easy bit of casting.
Yes.
And goes into labour during the Nativity.
Yes.
And gives birth.
Ooh.
And the whole thing itself is funny, but the funniest bit is right at the end when the camera goes round the audience, focuses on one woman and says, who says, "So realistic, isn't it?" It was just very, very nice, soppy piece of Christmas TV, and I liked it.
Okay. The thing I remember about Christmas, we used to have these American stop-motion...
Harry Harrison.
Yeah, I remember those, and there was one, you know, the first Christmas, and it was, you know, the Nativity and...
The singing ringing tree.
The what?
Yeah, I remember
that one. It was scary, it was an Eastern European Christmassy thing.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It freaked you out.
We used to get that too, yeah, it was good.
Oh, man.
The one that freaked me out was the, I think it was Tim Burton, was it The Night Before Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
That was amazing.
That was very good.
Really good.
That's one of my top 10 favourite Christmas films.
Yeah.
Fredders?
My top Christmas film. All right, my second top Christmas film.
Do tell.
I watched it yesterday, and it was A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant.
That's my second favourite as well.
Michael Caine gets third billing to A Frog and a Pig. And if you listen to him in interview, he seems happy about that. He thought he was going to come beneath the Swedish chef or Beaker. So to get the third billing was actually...
pretty good. Better rephrase that.
If Michael Caine wants to come beneath the Swedish chef, he can. But my favourite...
Yes, favourite.
And you're all going to go, it's A Wonderful Life. See, I told
you. Know, I've never
even
seen it. I've not watched it.
Oh, you've got to watch
it. I know there's an angel in it, and I know there's some guy jumping off a cliff.
If you don't cry at the end,
if you're a Red Dwarf fan, you have to watch it. It's the lore.
It's just brilliant.
Okay, well, go on then. Favourite Christmas movies, Adam? Okay. Paul from WhoCast.
Well, I reckon Brazil. Muppets.
Muppet Christmas Carol. Yes.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Miracle on 34th Street, the original one.
Yeah, I'll pay that
Not
one.
Not the Attenborough one, the original one.
No.
Here on 34th
Wrong
Street.
Wrong Attenborough.
Sorry. Crumbly?
The only one that springs to mind.
Excuse me.
You
I'll start
burped.
That again. Crumbly? Crumbly?
The one that comes to mind is Scrooged.
Scrooge. Oh, Bill Murray. That's really good.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. What about you then, Fat Boy?
I'm not really a Christmassy
humbug bash.
No. I adore Mary Poppins, the film.
Oh, I love Mary Poppins.
So do I.
I mean, that's romantic.
Oh, blimey, Mary Poppins, apples and pears up the apple.
Now, we're going to put a link to this. We will put a link to this on the blog.
Chim-chim-chim-chim-chim-chim-chim-chim.
That is a wonderful...
My sweep is as lucky as you.
There's a wonderful trailer that's been cut together, hasn't it, Frankie?
Scary Mary.
It's Scary Mary. We'll put a link to it on the blog roll.
It's very funny.
It's genuine. All the clips are genuinely from Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
It's been re-edited very quickly with some appropriate music, and it'll scare the pants off you.
It's as scary as fuck.
But no, I adore Mary Poppins. I think it's a brilliant film.
That's not a Christmas film, though, is it?
Yeah, I know. There was a film I remember seeing at Christmas, but I don't know what it's called.
Sound of Music.
No.
Bad Santa.
No.
Cloud Nine from Outer Space.
No. Elf.
No.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
No.
Ooh.
It's about this.
Black Christmas is a good Christmas film.
No, it wasn't that.
Space Fixins.
What? No.
Debbie does Dallas.
No.
Debbie does Dorset. It's a cheap version.
Yeah. An Nymphoid Barbarian in Dinosaur Hill. That's one of my favourites.
We normally get Dinky, the biggest dog in the
walk. Land Before Time.
It's no, so singing sad. Bloody dinosaurs.
They don't sing in the first one.
I think you should get a Nymphoid Barbarian and Dinosaur Hill, because on the back of the DVD it says
what?
Could be a sequel to Jurassic Park.
Could be.
You're not sure.
Which reminds me, at some stage we've got to show Crumbly Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Oh. Isn't that coming
isn't
out soon?
Isn't it called
soon?
Dinosaur Invasion?
No, it's the book. That's the book, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I know one of them. I know that.
Crack. That's the sound of a pterodactyl, don't you know?
Clack.
The real Keith was telling me that they're going to have...
He doesn't exist. He's like... I
do not believe... He's not here.
Well, no, he's
well,
not.
No,
the person
no
you met down in Portsmouth was an actor we'd hired.
Yeah, yeah. Plus I was drunk.
Yes. So he may not have even existed even then. I don't know. It's a film, and I'd love it. If people actually know what this film is, let me know. It's a kiddies film, and it's a lonely child in his bedroom.
Mowgli.
No.
What sort of film is this?
Shut up. And this box
Mowgli
tumbles in
animals,
through the window.
Chucky!
No.
What came through the window?
A box.
A box.
Big,
box.
Tall box like a wardrobe. And he goes inside it and it becomes a cartoon.
Oh.
And he has lots
Jamie
of
and his magic torch.
Torch.
No.
Well, the magic roundabout.
Is it the one where he goes to Dictionopolis and...
Wizard of Oz.
It could be. Mm. I can't remember all the details.
Puzzle
but eventually list. He comes out of it a lot happier, and the wardrobe tumbles off out the window and goes to his mate.
Another one you're talking about.
All right, I'm not going mad.
You know, talking about bizarre cartoons, does anyone remember what was it called? It was an egg, and he played classical music.
Ludwig. Oh, yeah, I used to like Ludwig.
Ah, Ludwig.
If that had a Christmas theme, I'd put that in as one of my favourites.
Christmas TV.
Yes, hello.
I like some of the one-off episodes that series tend to do.
Speaking of one-off episodes, the Slitheen, although they had a duel right at the beginning, at the end of the series they had their own, a single episode as well.
With Margaret.
Yeah.
And her amazing teleporter.
I thought it was a fantastic episode. The way the Doctor and the Slitheen played off each other.
What did you think of her perfume that could stun people?
I thought that was genius. Imagine that. Perfume that could stun people.
And the spike that came from her
so
finger.
Oh, cliche that was.
It reminded me of home because platypuses have spikes in their feet.
Platypi.
Do they?
What is
the platypus?
Platypi.
Platypi.
I think it's platypuses.
You're obsessed with pussies.
Well,
that's Slitheen.
Oh, God.
And what did you think of the egg at the end?
The one that she laid?
No, the one that she became.
Oh, that's right, she did become an egg.
She became
didn't
an
she?
Egg, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you studied your subject properly.
I thought it was quite good because it was
egg-shaped.
It was almost a foretelling of what would happen when.
Well, there is
Rose
that, you see. It also gave them a chance to sort of link in the new series with the Edge of Destruction documentary.
The Egg of Destruction.
on the DVD.
Round and scary. It looked like a horse turd.
The horse turds had bits coming off them. Mm, yeah, it had like raster.
And you have studied your subject.
Got a display case from my home.
Oh, dear God. Well, look, as we're on the subject, before we move on, very quickly.
Charades.
Oh, joke time.
Yes, right. What have we got here? Why did the turtle cross the road?
To get to the other side.
No.
To go to the Shell garage.
Yes.
Oh, are you kidding? That's awful. Yes.
Okay, here's an old one, but...
Go on, Crumbly.
Right. What gets wet when it dries?
A towel.
Correct.
Oh, God, really?
I've got one
this
here.
This shows where your sense of humour is, isn't it? Go on. I'm all excited. I am.
Not.
Why was the computer so tired?
I don't know. Why was the computer so tired?
Running Windows?
Any chance you get.
It didn't have any bite.
Nah, that's quite a good one. But no, sadly not. Because it had a hard drive.
Oh. Go on.
And because of all the porn.
Can we do a charade?
Hold on.
Great charade thing.
What building?
Yes.
Has a lot of stories.
Oh, I don't know, but you can shoot presidents out of it.
A library?
It would be a library.
Hey! Brilliant joke.
Hey, that was brilliant.
I've got this one.
Crumbly's got one.
Go on, Crumbly.
What's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Finding half a worm in your apple.
Perhaps.
No, it says here.
A giraffe?
Being tied up and beaten with electrical cable.
Where did you get those crackers from?
Ann Summers.
Local Conservative Party HQ.
That's true.
Yes. Right, so, talking to Doctor Who.
We were?
Were we?
Yes, Slitheen?
Yes.
Doctor Who.
What's that?
Ooh.
Ooh. Anyway, so, we needed to talk about Eccleston's time, the Eccleston week.
The Eccleston week.
Did. Because we haven't talked about Eccleston at all.
Haven't we?
We have not.
He was nice.
I liked Eccleston's doctor. No disrespect to David Tennant, who is his own sort of doctor, but I preferred Eccleston's doctor.
I would have liked it if he'd done another season, because I thought he was cracking.
Yep. I was watching The Empty Child and The Doctor Dances, and I knew what was going to happen and everything else, but I was still very slightly on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's brilliant. Why is it sad? If it's good TV, why is it sad?
Because you know what's going to happen. How can you possibly be on the edge of your seat because when you know what's going to happen?
Because it is still gripping. Good television bears repetition. Trust me, the BBC are going, what?
Well, the proof of that is the fact that we've had the same season 3 times in a row now.
Contentious?
Sheath those claws, Kitty.
So go on, and let's open it up. Chief Scientist, Hello. What have you got to say about The Empty Child and Dr. Dances?
Oh, dear. Well,
were there any Slitheen in that?
No.
Yes,
if there had been, do you think it would have improved it?
I think it would have.
Oh, God.
Particularly because what would have been nice to see is one of the Slitheen actually turning into, you know...
A gas mask man.
Thing. I think Hoocast that would have been great on Slitheen.
Yeah, he does.
That
would have been quite good. I think we can actually say that, can't we? Paul from Hoocast loves Slitheen. Yep.
He
that's
wants
the sound
to kiss
fight.
Them. Yes. Paul and Slitheen sitting in the tree... K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
So how old are we?
I thought you were going to go F-U-C-K-I-N-G.
Anyway, you tried to watch it. Now, you're normally our font of information on these things. You feed these subjects because you make tons of notes.
I normally have kind of two, well, maybe three or four sides of A4.
Yes, you do.
What have you
this
got
time
today?
I've got one.
Ooh.
Well, I was too busy watching. It's making.
This is a good thing. So context. First of all, context.
We should explain the story.
Yes, indeed.
People who haven't seen it.
Doctor Who had been, you know, it had been around, but they hadn't actually had a full series on the TV for a few years.
15 or something.
Sure. I mean, we'd had Search Out Science.
Rubbish.
We'd had Dimensions in Time. We'd have the
if it's not on Dalek.
It does.
McGann TV movie with the Pertwee logo. Talking of which, we're talking about that next time round.
Yeah, about the Pertwee logo.
Yeah,
yes,
we are.
We're talking about the Pertwee logo next time.
I like that.
No, the McGann movie
curvature
with the wig.
Fantastic.
And so Doctor would come back, and everyone was really nervous about it coming back, and would it work, would it not work? And it did. It worked brilliantly.
It did.
In all fairness, it did work very well. The viewers were there and everything else like that.
Surprisingly.
The series had started off being a little bit lightweight to draw people in, mm-hmm. including a two-parter with Slitheen, shut up, and Karen's favourite Dalek story ever.
Look, that was really, really good up to the last 5 minutes, and then it kind of went a bit funny.
I actually quite like the ending, to be honest.
Oh, for God's sake! Oh!
Okay, this is 15 minutes worth of podcast material.
Daleks are meant to kill people. I'm not saying it again.
But we had the whole, you know, genetic transfer.
Which was bollocks. Why would Daleks, who want to be racially superior, allow themselves to have this little loophole whereby some silly blonde human bint can mix her DNA with them? They just would not want to do that. I mean, and then to open up and sunbathe. I mean,
they want to see the sun.
Oh, jeez, we're going to buy it from the newsagents like the rest of us.
It was lovely because it felt like watching Jedi, didn't it?
What? No.
Right in the end, where Darth Vader says, "Oh, Luke, take my mask off."
Darth Vader was a person once. He was a person once.
Oh. Do you feel strongly about this?
Oh, I don't want to play anymore.
But it was a touching moment.
It wasn't a touching moment. It made me cry.
I think the best thing, though, about Dalek was the fact that we finally see Dalek's able to go upstairs.
We've never seen that before.
Yes, we had.
Remembrance of the Daleks, yeah, Paul, from WhoCast. You don't know your subject too well. I think you're an imposter.
I do think what Dalek did need was a
Dalek,
Slitheen.
Not Dalek.
I think a Slitheen Dalek. In that one would have improved at no end.
What would have been a real twist is if when they'd opened it up,
it would have been a Slitheen. Oh, that would have been genius.
That would have
it?
Been genius.
Yeah. Oh, I can't do that anymore. That's a bad game. A bad game.
I'm finding myself feeling ill.
Yeah,
listeners are better. Anyway, it doesn't really know. For the one or two people who don't listen to WhoCast, Paul has a thing about Slitheen, but it's not the thing we've been making
I
him.
I f***ing hate them.
If I can't say c***, he can't say f***.
We can believe.
And I thought it would be an interesting experiment to see just how far we can push him.
Oh, jeez.
You did well. And everybody else, would anybody else like to read what they had to do? Adam, what did you have to do?
No, I didn't do it very well. You must mock or poo-poo and laugh.
Or poo-poo.
Poo-poo, as it says.
Have you poo-pooed?
Paul from WhoCast, every time he mentions the Slitheen.
I ripped it up, just a sec.
You can't read it anyway.
I know.
I like what Tony said. Tony said take his trousers off at every opportunity. I don't know what that had to do with Slitheen.
I must feed Paul from WhoCast chances to praise the Slitheen at every opportunity.
Yes. And Crumbly.
Mine was, every time Paul mentions the Slitheen, he must disagree no matter what.
There we go.
I was the only one that played the game properly.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you were the only one who didn't know about it beforehand.
And mine also said I must take off my trousers at every opportunity. What? I don't understand.
Are you sure that's not just the memo for the latest DWAS executive meeting?
That would be it.
Anyway, come on, let's get down to this. Let's do our usual in-depth probing reports on...
It were dead good.
Yeah, but so anyway, we had that. We'd had young Cornell.
We had?
Writing his TV thing.
Aw, which
bless him, he was so proud.
That was a couple
of stories before, because then there was Adam that everybody thought was going to turn into Adric or be Davros or something like that.
Be Davros?
Yeah. Oh, yes, there were people honestly thought he would turn into Davros. Don't even ask. You don't go on the Outpost Gallifrey Forum, do you?
No.
There are some strange people on there.
Okay.
Hello. Oh, that was very tactfully quiet there, Paul from WhoCast.
I'm just letting you talk about Davros.
Alrighty ho.
I was actually trying to think of something witty.
You can't think of anything. And then suddenly we got hit with this two-parter, which
was cracking.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, the Cornell thing was good.
Very atmospheric.
Was really, yeah.
But
really
this, no offence to you, Paul, mate. Actually, I don't think you listen to these anymore, do you? We can say whatever we like about him.
Leave him alone.
Why?
Because I really liked Father's Day.
All right, then.
He's got a Velcro head.
What?
What?
Who?
We've Cornell. Stopped Cornell. The Slovene game now.
He had a Velcro head, didn't he?
So the Empty Child Doctor really dances. Basically, it starts off the.
Is anyone listening to Tony? Because he's waffling.
No. I'm doing what Adam has asked us to do. Quickly fill people in who don't know what we're talking about. Right. About what the story is. The Doctor and Rose, the stupid blonde bint.
Oh, Rose is terrific.
I liked Rose.
I liked her in the first series. Second series, I didn't like the Rose Doctor relationship. It was too smuggy, it was too horrible.
Yeah, but that was. Oh, anyway, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, anyway.
Get on with your thing.
So they're chasing this sort of strange ship thingy. They land on Earth in World War II.
Move Alert.
And, yeah, it was Move Alert. Yes, we're quite right. Basically, there's this strange school child with a gas mask.
Oh, wasn't he the cutest little thing in the world?
If you like gas masks.
Is he wearing a gas mask?
No, when they took
I wish he'd had a Cockney accent. Are you my mummy? apples and pears, I'm a Cockney.
That's true, why didn't he?
Fix your mince pies on this
Very
gas
good
mask.
Point.
That's because he was five and they don't develop an accent.
Have a look,
have a
butcher's look at this gas mask.
Because his sister obviously had a bit of a
yes.
Did you know, useless trivia?
No, please, yes.
Anyone who watched Grange Hill in the 80s, that little boy is actually the son of the girl who used to play Faye Lucas in Grange Hill.
So they find this gas masked child, and Rose people does. Are turning into people with gas masks. And Rose bumps into Captain Jack, played by shy, retiring, hardly ever on TV, John Barrowman.
We'll go to the opening of an envelope.
That's where we come in, really, isn't it? Sort of. I'm not going to tell them the whole story, they've got to watch it.
Okay, well, certainly they should watch it. It is,
yes, it's brilliant.
In my opinion, certainly the best of New Who. And possibly, New Who. Possibly the best. Doctor Who ever, in my
bold claim.
That's a big call.
It is.
If you know of a better story than The Empty Child and the Doctor Dances and want to poo-poo our chief scientist...
Time Lash.
Time Lash. The Time Lash.
It's a close second. But
Time Flight?
Time Flight, oh.
Anything with time...
You're doing
in it
very well
be,
over there,
thank
you. It's
a bit rubbish, really, isn't it?
Time and the Ronnie?
Time and your auntie.
Anything with time in the title, you know is going to be bad.
Time Crash was good.
Yeah, it was, actually. It was.
not really a proper...
There's always an exception.
The Time Warrior. That was good. First on Taran story, Paul, from WhoCast.
I'll get my coat.
Right, thus I win. Brilliant atmosphere. They got it spot on.
It'd be a period drama. It's something the BBC do
superbly.
Very well.
Yep.
And very production values were fantastic.
Very claustrophobic. Yes.
Director was James Halls, I believe.
He was.
Who, I think, ended up doing The Christmas Invasion as well.
Looks at Paul from WhoCast.
Yes,
what are you asking me for? Like, I even watched the show.
You're on a semi-official podcast thing, you know?
I'm on an absolutely
rubbish. We expect you to know everything.
I know nothing.
Right, okay.
Absolutely nothing. I don't even know why you invited me.
Why did we invite him?
The,
Yes.
Doctor Dances.
Yes.
I think had one of the most wonderful lines... Most wonderful. What the hell am I? I can't even speak English tonight.
Welcome to my world.
It has a wonderful line in it where, you know, the doctor says, you know, for once everyone lives.
Yes.
Yes.
But I think we had a problem because they then go and dilute that by then having a bunch of other episodes where everyone lived and come back from, you know.
I suppose they did.
Well, Boomtown, we're not sure everybody lived. Somebody could have fallen down the cracks.
Wow.
Either that or it could have been sort of lifted up and taken to the Tate Modern.
That's true. But we have a bunch of episodes where, well, particularly in Last of the Time Lords, where everyone lives.
Yeah.
Because they reverse everything, all the bad things that happen.
Not everybody.
President.
The president's dead.
He deserved to die, didn't he?
The master's dead.
Yeah.
Or is he? He might just wake up back in the 1970s.
1973, yeah.
Sorry, there's no David Brent in this. Yeah, Leslie, who's becoming a regular contributor.
Thank goodness.
Yes, has sent us some notes. This definitely gets the award for the creepiest story of the season and probably one of the creepiest Who stories ever.
Yeah.
Those comments are taken directly from her review in 2006, apparently.
Okay.
Yep. Rose gets to be a stupid companion required by the plot to wander off. Quite right,
yes.
I think. Oh, look, it's a bit of rope. I might be able to use it to go up to the child wearing the gas mask stood up on the roof. Why is a child wearing a gas mask stood
it's
up on the roof?
It's standing, not stood.
Stood standing.
Shut up.
But at least the doctor pointed out the
did
fact...
Did you like my dazzling repartee there? It was brilliant.
It's great, I liked it.
Go on.
At least the Doctor pointed out the fact that she'd run off doing the usual companion thing.
Yes, he did.
A bit of a knowing sort of...
I liked Eccleston's, the way he played around with the phone as well on the police box. It was, it shouldn't be, I don't want to touch it.
I don't know, I thought he overacted that a bit.
But, well, no, considering what happened last time they opened up that panel on the TARDIS, which was Legopolis. You see, I'm being sad here.
You There's are, you know, no link anybody in the world. So.
No, I don't. No, trust me, there are people out there who know it better than I.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Don't look at me like that. Somebody get Fake Keith to talk.
No, she's still salty. She's
got a mouthful.
And the whole thing about getting on the barrage balloon, that really didn't convince me properly.
And it's not particularly accurate either.
What?
Because they were held in place by steel
hawsers,
rope things, weren't they?
I believe so. Plus, it did seem a little sort of used to dangle there for her and then started moving.
Started drifting,
But that's about one of the only things I can actually complain about.
Yeah, I mean, that's a minor
point. Well, I actually didn't like Jack in it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like Captain Jack at all in Series 1.
Oh. I think I prefer him in Season 1 to later.
I found him... I think the reason was... the Doctor should be the hero, should be the centre of attention, and then all of a sudden we had this really outlandish, loud person who was supposed to be a companion or a secondary character who clashed with the Doctor.
I think that was the main purpose, to have the Doctor's thunder stolen from him.
Which I don't think you should do. And that's one of the biggest criticisms I had of the last season was the emasculation of the Doctor.
That's too big a word for this podcast. You might use them in your posh little WhoCasty things.
Posh. I can use something with more than two syllables.
It's not right. See, we appeal to the common denominator. go. Emasculation.
Yeah, and I think you have a situation where you have this character of Jack clashing with the Doctor, and as you say, may have been a design to steal part of the Doctor's thunder. Mm-hmm. And I just think you should do that.
Well, according to Confidential, it was basically they needed somebody to get people to fight. They couldn't get the Doctor to get to fight like that, so they needed to bring somebody in who they needed a soldier. Now, technically, you could say up to a certain point the Doctor was a bit of a soldier because he's damaged, he's an ex-war vet.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But he wouldn't pull a gun on somebody.
No,
but he would let off some sort of warhead that will burn the entire planet.
Yes. Well, yes.
Again.
It's like moral code.
Yes, it's a case of, how many planets can I destroy? Done Gallifrey, done Skaro a couple of times. What about Earth?
Yeah, why not? Well, he was going to, wasn't he?
Well, yes. Anyway, so Leslie says that. Good pointing there. She likes Rose's speech to Nancy a little better than the Doctor's Hail Britannia speech from the first part. Small little island standing up saying no.
Yes, that was good.
Rose is a Londoner.
No, she's not. Have you ever heard her speak when she's not doing that I'm a Cockney accent?
Well, yeah.
she's got the poshest accent.
She has.
She?
Yeah.
I never realised how bleak it must have looked to the English in 1941. I don't suppose I'll ever know what it was like to live in a town besieged, or at least I hope not. Fair comment. Fair comment, put in perspective.
Yeah.
It must have been really horrible.
Grim.
Grim. That's a good word.
I don't know. Grim. I think people just kind of get on with it, to be honest, but...
We don't know. Talking on special effects, Leslie has this to say. Great.
Super.
Especially for the air raid scene with St. Paul's in the background. Gotta love it.
I always thought that looked a little ropey, personally.
The matting wasn't quite right.
It did. It looked like a painting. Literally, like a painting.
Yeah, the matting wasn't quite right.
Can you imagine seeing that done in Series 17? That's the one with the horns of Nine on.
Separation overlay.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a big step forward for Doctor Who.
It was very
Who.
Good, but it wasn't flawless.
Maybe not, but I think it was good enough.
I think it was quite good. Yes, the matting was off. I think the best mat job that we ever saw was in Series 2.
I thought you were going to say in Stargate, then you'd have been thrown out.
Series 2?
In Series 2... in one of the episodes that I absolutely hate, but I thought was a fantastic mat job, was in the Idiot's Lantern, when you see London in the 1950s.
I'd have to go back and look at that
It's
shot.
So good, yeah. It doesn't...
doesn't stand out in your head.
Yeah. But that's exactly. Essentially that's what you want.
It is.
Yes, yes. Mm. I mean, it was very cinematic, that particular thing with the barrage boon or whatever. It wasn't realistic in that respect.
No, it was more...
It could well have been, I think, they got the perspectives wrong when they did the matting.
And the lighting on Rose was off.
It looked like...
I think they were learning their trade to a certain extent. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Of course.
So, will you start bloody talking?
She's sulking.
Leslie also says the Moonlight Serenade scene looks so damn cool. I'll never be able to think of that song in the same way.
That was a bit odd, I thought.
Well, when they're up against Big Ben.
It's a case of why didn't anybody look up and go, oh, bloody hell, there's a huge big spaceship up there?
Or why are there two people?
Why is Big Ben standing in midair? Just that, why is Big Ben suddenly lit up?
A great target.
Yes.
For that Luftwaffe there.
Seeing there's a black on.
For old Charlie.
Yeah.
God. Now, this I don't quite get you, Leslie, but it says the scene in the hospital is motionless. Eerie. Makes you want to bolt.
Mm. I think she's probably talking about when they're all lying down.
And then they suddenly sit bolt upright. Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Would you say yes to that, fake Keith? Sorry, what? You'll have to talk up, dear. I'm 40, you know. Okay, she has this to say about the Doctor. It's never easy being the only one left out in the cold. I suppose you would know. Nancy says slightly
mean. I thought
you
were going to say it's not easy being green.
I was going to say we're talking about that. I would, yes. Or Doctor, come get a hug.
Ah.
Don't patronise him, you bastards.
It was a bit rough for the Doctor, I suppose.
Yeah.
His companion being whisked away like that.
Wind and dined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Don't know. Is he supposed to sort of like that? This is the first proper hinting of the emotional Doctor.
Yes.
The lines about dancing and resonating concrete and the like.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, but even so, I mean, the Doctor was still very much an avuncular figure.
So, hang on a second. I've just read what Leslie's written next. Now we know what the Doctor's favourite fruit is. And for some reason, I can't get out of my head the image of Colin Firth singing We Have No Bananas from The English Patient.
I've never seen that.
Neither have I. Anybody seen The English Patient here?
Yeah,
fake Keith has. Do you know what she's going on about? And it is a she. Okay, good.
Well, if the person has seen The English Patient, it has to be a she, because I don't know any man that's actually seen it.
Born out by a quick pulse roll bowl here.
One gets a sense that he, I'm presuming the Doctor, identifies with this woeful child, and it does make sense. While the Doctor may not be looking for his mummy, bad thoughts, he does lament his own loneliness, his singularity in the universe. Mm. While he may not be consciously searching for... this is incredibly intelligent for us. While he may not be consciously searching for remnants of his species, he is, I think, seeking a reason to keep going. One, it's safe to say, he's found in Rose. All shipping aside. What?
Fan
going
fiction.
On Dogger Bank and fan fiction.
Where they get characters together.
Okay. It's not anything to do with Dodds.
Dodds?
You know, they...
Ken Dodd?
No, not Ken Todd. You know, Dodd's travel, Dodd's shipping and...
You're thinking about Brian Perkins reading the shipping forecast.
Possibly.
Dogger Bank.
BBC Radio.
It's always good, in my opinion, for the show to poke fun at the Sonic Screwdriver.
I hate the Sonic Screwdriver. I wish they would get rid of it.
They keep trying to, but he keeps replacing it.
Well, they only did that once.
Yeah, it is a bit too... get out of jail free, isn't it?
It does everything. It's a scan. It's a fucking screwdriver, for Christ's sake. All you're supposed to do is undo fucking screws, not be a scanner, not be a bloody... Sorry, I'm not supposed to be swearing, am I?
No, you can swear. I'll bleep it out. You're allowed to swear. You are allowed to swear. I can bleep it out.
I'm not allowed to swear on mine. At all. Not even allowed to bleep it out.
Let go, Paul. Release your inner swear box.
I tell you what, that thing... I mean, jeez. Yeah, I can cope. I can cope with it being used to shatter glass and things like that,
right?
Because it's Sonic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I cannot cope with it being a scanner and a whatever else you use of an ear cleaner
and a giver.
Where it put the barbed wire together was particularly bad. It seemed to grow.
Yeah. I mean, that was just dumb. I could cope with it cutting the wire.
Obviously,
I could cope with it melding it together.
Yeah.
Because you know it might melt it. I can't cope with it growing things and reprogramming stuff.
Okay, if you say so.
But at least you can grab shells of it.
No,
which was a good line.
Even a sonic screwdriver can't do that.
There was some good line banter there between Captain.
Well, that's something I'd like to talk about. I mean, the scripting itself was. There's some great lines in that.
Stephen Moffat does fantastic plotting and.
Yes, I mean, I keep saying this to you. Watch Coupling. Try and, you know, get it on DVD or something like that. Mm. Coupling is a superb sitcom. It's obviously you can see it's a man learning his scripting trade.
Yeah.
And the way everything gets plotted and comes together and the brilliant lines that are used, Coupling is superb.
Mm. Mm. I'm sure he's their finest writer.
Fake Keith is looking slightly confused about that one.
Nope.
Sorry, suddenly we've got Sooty with us. What was that, Fake Keith?
Who would clean up the mess?
I mean, the whole thing about the banana, in all fairness, great.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, he gets rid of the, you know, he turns around and says, oh, I got rid of the weapons factory and placed it in a banana plantation. Then he does it exactly, then a couple of seconds later, he's done the exact same thing again. He's got rid of the blaster and turned it into banana.
Yeah.
It's brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant, I think.
Why he'd worry about getting rid of a weapons factory, I'm not quite sure.
It's the sort of thing. It's one of these throwaway lines that New Who does.
Yeah.
The Doctor has this force of nature and just go around and do whatever he fancies. It, again, dating back to McCoy.
Makes me think a bit of Bill and Ted or something.
We all know that Doctor Who was based on Bill and Ted, wasn't
it? Well, yes, wasn't it just?
Has it even got the phone box, the whole thing?
I don't know. Socrates.
Something he did in McCoy's era too.
Socrates.
Silly things of him. I think about doing something in the future so that it affects me now.
You know? Four-dimensional thinking.
Yeah, but...
A car for a gattery.
Does it work?
There's a wonderful thing in, I think it was Transit, New Adventure. Brilliant book, everybody else hates it, I love it, they're wrong.
Is that the one where he goes back and kills his previous selves?
No.
Which one's that?
That's the short story on www.staggeringstories.net, Ashes of Our Father by Paul Cornell. An internet exclusive. The actual scene where McCoy's Doctor goes back and bumps off the Sixth Doctor. But that's not what
it comes from.
Yeah, and basically, Love and War. In Love and War, there's a sort of shared dream that Ace has with the Doctor, where Death mentions the fact that he's bumped off the Sixth Doctor.
I knew there was something.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about? Transit. No, Transit. There's a wonderful scene where McCoy. I think it's Transit. It might not be, but anyway, what the hell. He walks up to the fridge and says, I'm going to remember to go and fill this fridge with wonderful food. Opens it up, bugger, I forgot. It's empty.
Nice.
It's okay, so let's just take that conceit that people have been using, just wreck it. Brilliant. She has this to say about Jack. In another important plot point, it reveals that he's conning, not for money, but to get back the 2 years of his life the Time Agency erased.
He was on the BBC.
I was hoping Torchwood... Never heard of it. Series 1 would explain some of this.
Yeah,
obviously, they were all too busy shagging each other.
Yeah.
I hear that they're doing a junior version of Torchwood.
Oh, what?
Grief.
Basically, there's going to be a pre-Watershed edit so kids and families can watch it.
Really? Oh, really?
Yes, apparently.
I didn't know that.
What have you done
CBBC.
Now? It's on CBBC.
The interesting thing
junior
about...
Captain Jack and the Giant Robot.
The interesting thing about Torchwood was that right in the beginning, they talk about how Jack will shag anything.
Yep.
Yet he's the only person that doesn't get any through the whole series.
What's the stopwatch gag with Yanto? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Well, I think it was something to do with ferrets and...
McCoy strikes again. There's that small Scottish man at Torchwood 3.
Yeah, I mean, that was my major gripe about Torchwood. I mean, they're pushing the whole alternate sexuality bit.
We need
to
talk about Torchwood at some stage.
We do.
Probably next podcast, maybe, instead of Doctor Who. We're talking about the TV movie next time.
Yeah, but the one after that.
Yeah, because Torchwood will be back on air. Mm. Oh, yeah. Ah, perfect timing, you see, we're clever.
Really?
Yes.
Our mothers tell us.
Apparently, Jack goes over with the computer all the possible modes of escape. It's Han Solo-esque, charming, and before resigning himself to death.
To death.
Ooh.
I still want to know, I'm pretty sure, you know where the bit with the martini appears?
Yeah.
I am sure that sound effect is the... I don't know, it just reminds me of the old martini advert from the 70s. Was that Cinzano Bianco? I can't remember.
I'm sure they recreated it.
It's been used in something else, that sound effect. I just can't remember what. So many species, so little time. I'd like to have a T-shirt with that on the back and Captain Jack's picture on the front.
How sweet.
Would anybody else like a picture of Captain Jack on their front?
I've got it in my underpants.
I thought you had underpants with David Howe's face on. Okay.
That's on my ass.
Ah. Leslie was a John Barrowman fan and a fan of Buccaneers, thank you, named Jack O, before I saw this story, and that only reinforced it more. For all my nitpickiness... Is that a word? It is now. I find in retrospect that is particularly perfect and a radiant example of the Ninth Doctor's all-too-brief era. Great characters, great setting, fabulous special effects, the acting's top-notch, it's creepy in the extreme, but in the end it isn't a Robert Holmes bloodbath. And if I'm honest, I still... Oh dear, it's this word. We've managed to... I think we've managed to do 9 podcasts without mentioning this word.
What's that?
And if I'm honest, I still squee over the show me your moves scene. Moving on, the way the whole plot comes together, you've got the nanobots. Richard Wilson's cameo is brilliant.
It is.
Mm. He plays it completely straight down the line.
And I wish he'd said, I don't believe it.
Everyone
would
have expected
that. And they didn't. I still think he did have a wonderful sign off in this case of, well, there is a war on, perhaps you may have miscounted.
that was a corker. I actually thought right up until that line that he was going to say, I don't believe it! But
no,
the leg thing was much better.
Oh, yeah. And I just love the way he played it straight.
Mm.
Other notes.
Well, when his face was changing into the gas mask.
Yes.
I mean, sort of pre-Watershed, they had to edit out all the sort of sounds of the bone snapping.
Bone snapping, yeah.
Are you waiting for me to apologise or something? I will apologise if you want me to apologise.
Yep.
No, so hang on, she's writing something.
She's waiting for you to put your trousers back on.
You dared me? Why do you look like a bloody Roman emperor?
I don't know.
You just do. It's...
Send him to the lions.
King Farouk.
I've just bought the box set of I, Claudius. It was only 20 quid. You do remind me of Caligula.
So you have sex with your sister?
Mm.
I haven't got one, sadly. Sadly.
Uncle Claudius.
You're going to have something burst out of your chest now.
Sooty. Yeah,
so, you might not have sex with his sister, but he's got the head.
That's not a smile, trust me.
It was a fantastic ending, though, wasn't it, in all fairness?
It was. Very good.
Everybody lives, Rose. That ending.
I thought we were talking about our Claudius.
Well, that was a good ending as well, except there's this really creepy image of Christopher Biggins making love to his mother. Oh, my brain is unclean now.
Mine too.
I don't know how we ended up in this incest discussion.
Because he looks like a Roman emperor.
It was where Claudius is lying on his deathbed and Sybil appears to him.
Sybil?
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 What?
Sybil.
Sybil.
Hmm.
Was she in it?
No, where he's talking about, what will my descendants be like? And the Sybil says, there won't be a bad lot.
Right, I got you, yes.
Now come now, Claudius Tiberius Drusus Nero. The ferryman is waiting.
You've been watching it recently, have we, Crumbly? Good on ya. I picked up the box set for 20 quid.
All right.
I was thinking, well, shall I save up and get it? I know it's brilliant TV, but I ended up sort of, 20 quid. Oh, I've got to. So I did. Now I'm after Smiley's people.
Cow Smiley.
Indeed. It means I get to do this stupid voice. Wonderful ending to it.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, Dean O'Leary described it as a punch to the air, yes, moment.
Mm.
And it is, in all fairness.
It was very good.
The following story was Boomtown, which had this really wonderful tornado effect, which they had in the TV movie. Okay, so letters,
yes.
Awesome.
I think you may have a letter there from George McFadden.
What may
he have said? Can you guess, everybody?
Well, yes. Maybe you can.
Okay, go on.
Looks pretty standard so far.
Okay, go on.
Dear team.
Right, yes.
All done.
Yes.
Festively.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well.
Ah!
Yours, George
McFadden. We've done festively well. What is festively well?
I know.
Well, it's doing well with Jingle Bells, isn't it?
Have we sung Jingle Bells recently?
You can
dashing
now.
Sing through the snow.
He really likes his songs, this chap.
Yeah, I do. I think. I.
You want to do Who Cast the Musical?
I do.
Do you hear that,
I
Sebastian?
Can't help myself.
Do you?
I think everything goes up there.
Isn't that a song title as well? So you're a fan of musical theatre then, are you?
Well, I would like to do the podcast in interpretive dance, but because it's audio, it has to be through song form.
Right. I quite like the idea of this interpretive dance podcast thingy, yeah. Bobby. That this amuses me strangely.
But if you can't do interpretive dance, then it has to be through the magic of song.
Mm. Define magic.
Not a lot.
Oh, it's magic.
You have a letter there from who?
I do have it. Yes. It was delivered just as I got through the
door. Go on, Paul from Whocast. Out with it.
And amazingly, it starts, dear team.
Ooh. Oh, well
not
done.
George again, is it?
No.
Ooh.
I am angered at your lack of tact.
That'll be Adam.
And decorum in your recent podcast. Sure. Your comments regarding the subject was shocking and appalling.
Well, I never.
You all should be thoroughly. I'll do that again. You all should be thoroughly ashamed of yourselves and taken out and flogged.
Oh, good.
Who the hell would buy me?
Yours lovingly, Paul from the Whocast.
Ka-ching. We're making a fortune tonight, folks.
Every single plug.
I wish I could read my own writing. I wish I could even spell my own name.
You're not Paul, really, at all, are you? Who are you? Adam, grab the side of his face and pull.
Oh, it's a zip at the top.
Oh, we're not on that game again.
Fake Keith, do you have a
I would have been
there?
Successful if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
we didn't actually get around to play charades, did we?
No.
Oh. Don't know how she's going to go when she has to say goodbye.
Put him away.
Go on then, Crumbly. What have you got there?
Oh, I've got a letter from Lapland.
Don't give me that look.
What look?
You just gave me another one of your looks.
Take me with you. I can see perfectly. See that pin over there?
Get on with it.
That's your head, that is.
It's from my esteemed colleague Keith.
Ooh.
What a surprise.
Ooh, it is. Not very happy.
Oh.
Is he ever?
Hang on. What do you mean he's not very happy? He's gone off to be with Santa. Well, sorry, Father Christmas. Mm. He should be having a whale of a time.
Oh, no, apparently not. It begins, you festive bastards. You sent me off to Lapland to be Santa's little helper.
Yes.
But due to a typographic error, I am now Satan's little helper.
And
I now have a pitchfork inserted in a very tender place.
Oh, dear.
And due to working in the Christmas cracker bad joke department, I have a bad dose of tinselitis.
Whoa! Oh, are we supposed to be laughing or going groaning?
Groaning.
Oh, sorry.
Don't care.
And all Satan's little helpers are ho-ho-hos. Yours nativitan.
Yours and Tiverton. Keith?
Yours nativitively. Keith.
Nativitively.
Right, that's the end of this car crash of a podcast.
What an accurate album I got to the record.
I think this is champagne podcasting. It's all podcasting
gloom
gold.
Podcasting.
I got to drive home.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'll edit it down into something useful.
You get what, 3
our shortest podcast
out
ever.
Something potable.
Next time round, we're talking about the TV movie. What are we going to talk about the one afterwards? We've got to come up with something.
Torchwood,
series one. Okay, which means we're all going to sit down and watch Torchwood, series one.
Oh, dear.
Stop being French!
There's a box shake, isn't it?
She hasn't got. Oh, 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 oh.
She's doing the shrug. Hang on, there's more writing here. The suspense
like
is killing me.
No, fortunately, I haven't.
What?
Hasn't got a what?
Is that a
haven't
ghost?
Got it. Torchwood. Ah, have you got it? No, have you got Torchwood?
I thought we were talking about some communicable disease.
Well,
that's what happens in Torchwood.
Sorry, what was that strain?
If you don't have Torchwood, it's okay because I can do it through the magic of interpretive dance for you.
Okay, we're going to basically have an MPEG to put up on the site of Paul doing an interpretive dance of Torchwood, which he'll be sending us. And we're going to hold you to that. Like I say, next time we'll be talking about the TV movie. After that, it'll be Torchwood Series 1.
Yep.
And we may have another guest yet over the next couple of podcasts. We're not sure.
Maybe.
Got to wait and see. Yes, we shall see. But until then, I suppose you're going to say a very happy fan cliche to all of you at home. And
very seasonal greetings.
Yes,
yes, festive greetings.
And have a lovely time, basically. Don't get too fat, unlike me. Toodles.
See ya.
That was fake Keith waving goodbye. If you're wondering why she's so quiet, I dared her to stay quiet, and she has. The dare's now over. You can say, no, seriously, there's over. You can say goodbye and happy Christmas.
Goodbye, happy Christmas.
And this is me, Joanna Lumley, signing off.
Can I say you've goodbye?
Well, yes, it would be nice if you did.
Oh, fuck them, no way. <Thank God. laughs>
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 11. Featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Tony Gelshaw, and featuring Paul from WhoCast. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this podcast is a McFadden publishing production for www.staggeringstories.net, with thanks to Hardwire and Danny and Ian Stewart, as always.
I've got lipstick.